Welcome to the 21st. I'm Julian Haida. Earlier this week, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was released from prison after President Trump commuted his 14-year sentence in federal prison. Blagojevich was convicted in 2011 of crimes that included seeking to sell an appointment to Barack Obama's old Senate seat and trying to shake down a children's hospital. In a few minutes, Mark Maurer from the Sentencing Project will join us for some more context about the commutation and Blagojevich's original sentence. But first, earlier this morning, we had a chance to check in with WBEZ's state politics reporter Dave McKinney. Dave is also the host of the Public Official A podcast, which tackles the rise and fall of Blagojevich. Dave McKinney, welcome back to the 21st. We really appreciate your time, given how busy your morning's been.
Yes, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. So before there was talk about a possible commutation, before President Trump was president, the two men, Blagojevich and President Trump, knew each other in a different capacity. Back in 2010, Blagojevich went on a media blitz. It included a stop on the president's show, The Celebrity Apprentice. You actually played a clip from that, from an episode on Public Official A. Let's have a listen to that.
So, Governor, you have a hell of a lot of guts, I have to tell you that. I have friends where things have happened to them. They crawl into a corner, they die. You're out there punching. So I respect that.
Well, I appreciate that.
So unfortunately for Blagojevich, just a few episodes in, he was the recipient of the famous Trump, you are fired quote. Dave, what's the relationship between Trump and Blago like all those years ago? And do you think that that played at all into the commutation?
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly they had this relationship where, you know, don't forget, you put it in the proper context there, where Rod was facing enormous legal problems because of, you know, the feds had basically built their case against him at that point, but he was still facing, you know, working his way through the trials. But, you know, they established this rapport there. I don't know that they were particularly close in the aftermath of that, but what we did see, or what you do see, is this kind of trail of interviews after that and tweets where Trump, before becoming president, expresses sympathy, empathy for what Blagojevich has gone through. And so you could see that kind of early seed planted in Trump's head that he thought that Blagojevich was being screwed by the system. And so I think what, you know, it's not terribly surprising that these, you know, that we would be at the point we are now where Blagojevich is now a free man because of Donald Trump. But, you know, it's a strange relationship. I don't think that they are close personal friends, but they also have this series of common threads where, you know, they have, you know, some people will say that they both have kind of a narcissistic component to their personalities where they like being in the middle of things and out front. Of course, both of them have been impeached. So you've got this kind of, I could throw one other thing out there. Both had kind of fixations with their hair, you know, I mean, Blagojevich more so than Trump, I mean. So, you know, it's just it's such a strange confluence of events here, but you know, as I'm sure we're going to be working into. I mean, yesterday outside of Blagojevich's home, I mean, it was just an absolute three-ring circus.
Yeah, there are people leaving teddy bears and signs and things that said, "Thank you, Mr. President. I heard make Illinois great again." I mean, it's an oddly kind of bipartisan kind of combination of things. I mean, I read that Jared Kushner, for example, was suggesting this to the president as a way of ingratiating President Trump among Democrats. You know, is that a kind of calculus that you think is realistic?
Well, I mean, Blagojevich hasn't really shown his hand, nor has the president, about what the plans are, if there are any plans. I mean, it's impossible to forget the fact we are in an election year. And, you know, Trump, sort of like Blagojevich, I mean, he has this thing, and it's, you know, bleeping golden, I guess you could say. I mean, the pardon, the commutation, rather, again, this is not a pardon, this is a commutation. I think that there is a possibility that Blagojevich could be an effective campaign surrogate for President Trump. I mean, you know, especially if he were to go outside of places where he was well known. I mean, Blagojevich, certainly many people in Illinois will remember him and the dysfunction of his governorship. But you know, if you're sitting in a church service on a Sunday morning and he comes to speak to your group there, he is compelling. He's a great public speaker. We saw some of that on display yesterday, and it's a thing where, there was a point in time when Rod Blagojevich was really popular with African American voters, and I bring up that church idea because he used to be really effective at working the black churches in Chicago, during his campaigns for governor.
He thanked the Reverend Jesse Jackson during his talk yesterday.
Absolutely, and if you look at the series of people that the White House cited as being as advocating in some way, shape, or form for his early release. Jackson, Congressman Danny Davis, Congressman Bobby Rush. I mean, these guys are pillars in the black community in Chicago. So it would not be a strange thing. I mean, you could also see a scenario perhaps where since Patty, the First Lady, former First Lady, was so effective in getting herself on Fox News to try to plead to the president, you could easily envision a scenario where Fox News would, might decide to tap into the political knowledge base that Rod Blagojevich has, and could he be a token Democrat on Fox News, for example? I mean, any number of possibilities await. But I do think that, first and foremost for him, besides getting reacclimated to life outside of prison, is what is he going to do to make money? I mean, that's the reality here. He has no government pension, no source of income at the moment. He still has time, I would think time before he's ready to retire. He's got one daughter who's going to be heading into college. So big open question about what the future holds for Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a little bit earlier that Rod Blagojevich received a commutation, not necessarily a pardon. That means that he's still a convicted criminal. He'll deny it. How does he carry that forward?
There were a lot of political forces lined up against President Trump offering any kind of clemency to Rod Blagojevich. First and foremost, the Republican congressional delegation all were staunchly opposed to letting Rod Blagojevich out early. The House Republican leader, Jim Durkin, yesterday criticized the president and called Blagojevich the face of public corruption in Illinois. And Republicans, their fortunes have not been good in Illinois for, really the last decade since Blagojevich left and certainly since Quinn was defeated. But they're hoping to make inroads against the Democrats in Springfield. And to do that, they were hoping to use kind of this anti-corruption message because the Democrats, we've seen a couple of legislators targeted in criminal investigations. And there are a number of investigations that remain active and in which the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, there have been questions raised about him. So Republicans want this corruption issue. And how is it that they're able to go after that when the president of their party, the president who belongs to their party is really, as Durkin said, giving a pass to the face of public corruption in Illinois.
Mm. Now, Dave, just in a word, you were there when a lot of this unfolded a decade ago. How does it feel? You're on the other side of this. What do you what's going through your head?
Well, when my colleague Colin McNulty and I spent time developing this podcast, Public Official A, that kind of showed the rise and the fall of Rod Blagojevich. I mean, we spent a lot of time with Patty Blagojevich and, probably 5 or 6 hours over multiple sessions at their house, which was the backdrop to yesterday's big event. And, it's sort of hard I think ultimately you spend time with these people and they've got little kids, or they had little kids. One is out of college now. One's still in high school, and it's like these young girls. I'm a parent, and I've always had empathy for these daughters because, they never signed up for this, and they're the ones who spent a great deal of their childhood without a father, and so you are left with that, and I don't wish ill will on these people at all. I mean, they're entitled to live their lives. But I do think there are serious questions about what the effect of an action like this is, especially in a state like Illinois, where corruption has just been so it's just now part of our character. When we have this lineup of governors that dates back to the you know, the 70s, the late 60s. I mean, you got governors that are constantly, you know, making a path to federal prison, and members of the city council in Chicago, members of the legislature. It's like every time somebody gets caught doing something and goes to prison, it seems like there's somebody else in line waiting after them and seemingly thinking they're smarter than the previous person. You know, that to me is the issue at hand here, where, yes, you feel sympathy for somebody who is spending a great deal of their life in prison and the people left behind. But I guarantee you, Rod Blagojevich and the Blagojevich family are not the only people facing this kind of hardship. There are lots of other people who don't have that tie to the president that Blagojevich did, or that these other people who were released from prison early or who got pardons did. You know, those people are still living this on a daily basis. So,
well, we're going to talk a little bit about that next. That was WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney. You heard him mention the Public Official A podcast. You can download that wherever you get your podcasts. They actually just put out a new episode this week about Rod Blagojevich's commutation. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Julian Haida. As we've been hearing on Tuesday, President Donald Trump commuted former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's 14-year sentence in federal prison, along with 10 other white-collar criminals. At a press conference yesterday, here's how Blagojevich described his time behind bars.
The buildings behind that fence where the inmates live and sleep are squalid places. They're cold and dark like tombs. There were about 900 inmates there. Drug dealers, cartel members, gangbangers, bank robbers. There were men there who committed murder, con artists, a lot of sex offenders. About 2% of the population were in the so-called white-collar category.
Like I said, Blagojevich was among that white-collar category, among those white-collar criminals, though he chalks up his time in prison to being unfairly treated. Blagojevich cited the fact that the U.S. imprisons more people than Russia and China. Some, like Senator Dick Durbin, have argued in the past that Blagojevich's sentence was indeed too long, 14 years. But if yesterday's press conference was any indication, Governor Blagojevich thinks he's in the same boat as 2 million other incarcerated Americans, except they didn't have the good fortune of being commuted by the president. For some perspective, I'm joined now by Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, which advocates for more moderate criminal sentencing laws here in America. Welcome to The 21st.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. So I feel like we've been thrust into this big conversation in recent days about prison sentences, given these high-profile cases. I mean, even today, Roger Stone is being sentenced. Why does the way we sentence criminals matter?
Well, it matters in terms of our public safety strategy. You know, prison incarceration is one element of public safety, but we have a variety of other ways we can invest in public safety. So we want to have a healthy economy, give people economic opportunity and the like. What's happened over the past four decades in the United States is that we've had an explosion in the prison population, far out of line with any changes in crime rates, essentially the end result of what's been called get tough policies, meaning sending more people to prison, keeping them for longer periods of time. And we know that in many, many cases, we're keeping people in prison far past the point at which they present any risk to public safety. So this is then costing enormous tax dollars to keep them there with diminishing returns for public safety. And also, as we've heard, it affects their families, their communities, their prospects of making it when they get out. So we do want to have a conversation about what is the appropriate use of incarceration and how could we get to a more rational level of sentencing policy.
Sure. Now, you mentioned threats to public safety, you know, violent versus nonviolent, white-collar crimes, the kind that we're talking about here with Governor Blagojevich are at issue. I mean, I read a thing in the Washington Post that said Blagojevich was notorious for not commuting a lot of sentences, and he was, you know, the recipient of this kind of privilege. So how does that play into, as our previous guest mentioned, you know, the overwhelming majority of inmates who really depend on things like commutations and pardons and things like that as almost built into the system?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you know, former Governor Blagojevich, like many other Former state and local executives have gone to prison. They discover the problems of incarceration only when they get to prison. And here they've been in charge of the prison system and the clemency process. And it just shows why we need to get them to focus more on it, and it shouldn't require incarceration. The challenge here, I think, is that, yes, sentences are generally far too long in the United States, but the clemency issue is a remedy, but the way it's done needs to be done fairly and justly. And clearly what's happening in this case, regardless of what one thinks about the justice of the commutation for Blagojevich, is that people in high places, people with access to the White House, get their cases for clemency heard. The tens of thousands of other people, many of whom are serving overly long sentences, their applications are sitting on a desk somewhere in the Justice Department and will never reach the
White House. It takes a lot of money and a lot of privilege to get to the top of that list. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Mark Maurer, Executive Director of the Sentencing Project. It advocates for more moderate criminal sentencing laws here in America. Mark, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, too. Yeah.